Young, would you like to stand and face the people? Would you like to come and join me here? You can rest your... Okay. So just a few basic questions to introduce yourself and your past to us. Well, first of all, we call you Young. That's how you've been introduced, but that perhaps is not your full name, and I suspect that that's not what people call you in Korea. So what is your proper name? What would you like us to call you? And does your name have a meaning?
Thank you. Thank you for your coming in this morning. First, I have brought a flower gift for you. Do you like this?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
A photo of the roses that he bought his wife on Saturday.
My Korean name is Lee Young Sik. Lee is family name, and Young Sik is given name. Korean name is written normally family name first, always. Yeah, so my name is Lee Young Sik. It's Korean style. English style is Young Sik Lee. my name was given from my grandfather. It means planting roots. Korean names can sometimes be hard to pronounce of you, but my name is matched with English words. So you can call me just young, not old. Always young. Yeah. And next one.
So when and where were you born? And could you tell us a little bit about your family and your parents and brothers and sisters?
I was born in Seoul, the capital city of Republic of Korea, South Korea, in 1959. It was past 6 years of Korean War. At the time, my father was a fashion designer, but my family was not rich, because after the war, almost Korean people were poor and starving. My father studied theology a few years to become a pastor, but he couldn't achieve his dream because the Korean War took place. So he worked hard as a head of our family. My mom is a very sweet woman. She prays for me until now, every day and every night, with tears. But she had an operation on her heart twice. Now her body is very weak, but her memory and her spirit are very clear and strong. My father is 79 years old, and my mom is 77. And I have two younger sisters. First one is living in Korea near my parents, and another one is in Sydney. Yeah, next one.
So could you tell us what some of your memories are of growing up in the family?
Yep. When I was young, my family had moved from center of Seoul to countryside. It was very beautiful place. There were rivers, mountains, and often green fields, fresh air, dogs, chicks, geeks, and many friends. My childhood was really like a dream. The memory of those days had a strong influence on me. So I liked the natural view of Australia. Anyway, I have kept a very beautiful memory on my childhood.
So could you tell us what or who were some of the important influences in your life?
My parents had given me most important influences. My father was a very strict man in the faith of God. His faith was an inheritance from his grandfather, my grand-grandfather, from 1880s. Therefore, when I was young, I was trained strictly by him to be in faith of God. For example, reading the Bible, praying every day were the basics. It was unthinkable to go somewhere else other than church on Sunday. And we were not allowed to spend money on Sunday. Even my mom had to prepare food before Sunday to keep the Lord's Day holy.
So let's ask you some questions about school. What was school like in Korea? What were some of the subjects that you were required to study? And did you enjoy being at school?
When I was a student, I liked music, especially singing. So I wanted to become a singer or a music composer. However, at the time, my parents didn't have a musical awareness and not rich. So I couldn't advance anymore. After high school, I went to university. I had chosen my major. It was civil engineering. During study at the university, I was conscripted into the Korean Air Force for 35 months. It was a compulsory of Korean men, Army or Navy or Air Force. After discharge, I finished my study at university, and I had become a public officer in Seoul City Hall as a supervisor of construction. So I have built many roads and many bridges in Seoul. Yep. I participate this bridge construction. This is the bridge of Great Wonhyo. Yep. In Seoul. Few years later, God has led me another way on my life.
Can I ask you another question about your youngest days at school? Just to depart from the script a little bit, at primary school, I'm just interested to know, South Korea has been under American influence, and so did that influence the education you received at primary school? Did you study American history or Korean history or Chinese history? So what kind of influences were upon you during your primary school years?
I learned Korean history especially. At the same time, history of the world, whole world, first of first war of the world and the second one. Yeah.
Did you learn any other languages?
Little bit Japanese and a little bit English. English learning starts from the middle school, after public school, in Australia, year 7. Yes. Yeah, not now, not primary school teach the English conversation.
And you agree that English is an easy language to learn?
No, I don't think so. English language and the Korean language are definitely different. The order is absolutely opposite. Yeah, I am a boy. Korean is I is no. Am boy. It's very difficult. Yeah. So to learn English is very difficult to me, very hard.
Well, I think everyone will agree he's doing very well.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't like to be speaking in Korean, would you?
I preached in Korean language for 25 years, but English speech before public is first time. Thank you.
Very good. You're very courageous. Thank you. So, just a little bit about your Christian experience. How and when did you become a Christian, and why and when did you become a pastor?
Yeah. As I mentioned at the very beginning, my background of growth was composed by strict Christianity. But this is another meaning and another story with am I a born-again Christian? Yeah. I was a man really familiar with religion, but not a born-again Christian. I had struggled for a long time. At last, I came to solve this problem after meeting my Lord Jesus Christ during the Air Force services. It was a mystery that I became a pastor. It was a totally God's grace, I think so. I have a lot of spiritual experience, but I couldn't tell you all of them. After a while, I want to share one of them. Yeah, thank you. Number 7.
So you were a pastor in Korea?
Yes.
So did you have in one church or more than one church, and where was your church in Korea?
In Korea, I worked at three churches. All churches, I worked as an associate pastor, not a senior pastor. Mm-hmm. In Sydney, I was a senior pastor for the last 13 years in Sydney, just a Korean church.
Yes. Okay. So, a little bit about your family now. Eunice is here this morning, and I'm sure Eunice would be delighted also to receive any questions. How and when did you meet Eunice? And tell us a bit about your family, your children.
Yeah, thank you. Eunice and I had met at our mother church in Seoul in 1986. Yep, we fell in love, and 4 years later we got married. We have two children. English is very to your children's.
So we don't recognize the couple, the picture. Who are they?
At the time, well, very young, yeah. Yeah, I'm young, always young. I have a daughter and a son. Joy is my daughter. She is 23 years old. She is studying contemporary music in college. And Kevin is my son. He is 17 years old. He is in high school, year 12. He is interested playing drum, so he is learning it regularly, once a week. Yep. Very happy. He wants to become a drummer. Yeah. And woodworking is my hobby. Yeah. When I used to live in Sydney, every Monday was my day off. So I started making things with wood. But I wasn't educated about woodworking properly. So I did undergo lots of trials and errors. Nevertheless, I can make something in need for my life. Yeah, then I joined Tari Woodworkers Club last September. Thank you.
Your Joy and Kevin, are they both in Sydney?
Yeah, in Sydney, my sister-in-law's house. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when and why did you come to Australia? What brought you to Australia?
Yeah, a very important question. I came to in Australia in 2000 with my wife and two young children. At the time, my youngest sister lived in Sydney, so my family stayed at her house for half a month with her family. When I came to Australia, I had a dream toward the Aboriginal people. It was given by God. Now I'm going to tell you something about my spiritual experience. I came to know about the Aboriginal people. It was in 1993. I was a student of theological seminary. At the same time, I was an associated pastor in a church in Seoul. One day, I attended an early morning prayer meeting, which opened 5 to 6 a.m. every morning, just like in most Korean churches. After prayer meeting, all believers left to go back home, even include the senior pastor. I was left alone and I prayed continuously. Then I heard footsteps behind me. So I thought that the senior pastor definitely left something behind and came back. When the footsteps had stopped next to me, I opened my eyes, but there were nobody. I continued to pray. The footsteps approached to me again and stopped beside me. I opened my eyes again, but still nobody was there. When it had happened the third time, I didn't open my eyes because I remember the story of young Samuel in the Bible. So I knelt immediately and I prayed, "Speak, for your servant is listening." At the time, God said to me strongly, "I love the Aboriginal people in Australia." God said to me, "I love the Aboriginal people in Australia." I was surprised because back then, I didn't even know the Aboriginal people existed in Australia. It's amazing. There were tears running from my eyes. That day, I didn't attend school, and instead I went to the library. I began to search for information about the Aboriginal people, but I couldn't find except a little bit. Few days later, I've got a large Australian flag, because I didn't know that there is a Aboriginal, there is Aboriginal flag. Yeah. So I hung the flag on the wall. My wife and I began to pray for Aboriginal people since that time. After graduating the theological seminary, my wife and I have visited mission training center called GMS, Global Mission Society. GMS is my denomination's missionary training center. However, we were rejected by them because they have an age limitation which was 35 years old on their policy. I was 39 years old at the time. So we came back. Next year, I took an airplane to Sydney with my family. It was 2000. I have tried to meet Aboriginal people, but I couldn't meet them. I thought that God blocked the way to go to Aboriginal people because I didn't receive any training as a missionary. Therefore, after 3 months, I had established a Korean church, which I worked for past 13 years as a senior pastor in Blacktown City. Then I began to support Aboriginal people, their communities, and missionaries through that church. The church grew up so quickly. At the same time, the supporting of mission increased more and more. 10 years later, God forced me to go to the Aboriginal people, just as I wanted 10 years ago. But I couldn't obey because I couldn't. I have a very stable life at that time in Sydney. I couldn't give it up. So I asked to God, "Lord, could you wait for me until my son enters university? And how will this church go without me?" And God said to me, "Is this church yours?" I had no choice but obey his command. I prayed for a long time. Then I've got a holiday for 3 months. My wife and I went to Korea. We knocked again at the door of the Mission Training Center, GMS, who rejected us 10 years ago. After interview, we were accepted as a trainee of missionary. Then had they had admitted our passion and the experience of last 10 years church ministry in Sydney. After training, when we came back to Sydney, KMIA was organized by 7 Korean pastors who has a great passion for the Aboriginal people. KMIA stands for Korean Mission for Indigenous of Indigenous Australian. I joined KMIA immediately. I began to many Aborigines communities, Northern Territory, Queensland, Western Australia, and Northern of New South Wales, with KMIA members, and sometimes with Reverend Trevor Legat for several times. 1.5 years ago from now, God forced me to go out to the mission field. At that time, KMIA decided to dispatch me. So I looked for a successor, another pastor. At last, I handed the church over to another pastor, and I resigned at the end of March last year, and I moved to Taree at the end of May last year.
So you've been in Australia since the year 2000. You've been here for 15 years now.
Yeah.
You've had an exposure of the church in Sydney and the Aborigine churches. And so what are some of the differences? And I imagine there's many differences between the church scene in Australia and the church scene back in Korea.
Yes. I have never attended Australian church before I attend this church. So I don't know well about its differences. But I guess there are many differences. For example, the progress of making decision making and to manage of congregation and so on. Yeah, I don't know about.
I believe there are many churches in Korea, and how many churches and how many Christians would be in Korea approximately? What is the population of South Korea to
begin with? South Korea population is 47 million. Yeah, 47 million. The Christian population is 12 million, approximately, 12 million. 10,000, there are 10,000 churches in Korea. Yeah. The biggest church is 100,000. 100,000 believers in one church. Yep, Yonggi Church. Yeah, Full Gospel Church in Yeouido, in Seoul. There are over 200 churches has believers. 10,000 believers. Yeah.
Are the churches mainly Presbyterian?
No. Yeah.
Pentecostal, charismatic?
Yeah, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Pentecostal. Yeah. There are many, many Baptist, many denominations.
So tell me some of the good things about the church in Korea, and I'm sure there's some bad things too.
Korean believers has a passion, a very hot passion to Christ. Yeah. Do you know Korean style prayer? Korean style prayer is praying with shout all together. Yeah. Very noisy. So sometimes neighbors complain. Yeah. So yeah, so some church built a main hall underground. Yeah. Yep.
That was a shout too, wasn't it? Calling out in their prayers then.
So the revival of 1905 was a result of passionate prayer?
Yes. Yep. Korean church revival from 1907 from Pyongyang. Pyongyang is now North Korea. Belong to North Korea. There were great awareness and repentance and survival. So the revival has influence to descendants to us. Yeah.
What are some of the other major religions in South Korea, apart from Christianity?
Sorry, I don't understand. Yeah.
Apart from Christianity,
yeah.
What are the other big religions in South Korea?
Buddhist and Catholic. Yeah. The big religion is Christianity and Buddhist and Catholic. I believe that Catholic is not Christian. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
And how do you see the state of Christianity, the state of the church? How do you see the need here in Australia?
How? I'm sorry. My problem is understand not quickly.
Well, you can only speak from your own experience. What are some of the things that you would like to see happening here in Australia, in the church? What are some of the needs that you see in the church? Things that we should pray for? Do you understand, or will I?
Sorry, I don't understand. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, let's move on to another question. We discovered that end of March last year, you decided to leave your church in Sydney.
Yeah.
You decided to come to Taree, of all places in Australia. Why did you come to Taree, and what's your purpose in coming to Taree?
Yeah. I had first visited Taree with my church members to meet the Aboriginal people in 2011. After that, I visited regularly one or two times in per year. So maybe that is why I have chosen Tari as my mission field. But I know, of course, that it is the part of God's plan. My understanding of obedience as a missionary is to go there, to live there with them. So I moved in Tari. I have some things to do in here. First thing is to improve my English skills. I have an excuse. I have been living in Australia for 14 years. But as you know, my English is not enough to do my ministries. This is because I have been living in Sydney with just Korean people. So all my ministries were for them. Therefore, I didn't need to speak English, so I couldn't get opportunity to learn English. But now, I need it. So my wife and I are studying English conversation in Tari Tape College. And Mrs. Pamela Leggett, Trevor's wife, is teaching us once a week for 2 hours or more. One of my ministries is to feed to Aboriginal children with Mr. Brian Booker, who is an Aboriginal evangelist in Bushland. This ministry is a foundation of spreading the gospel to next generation. Mr. Booker and I have a plan, which is to run a kids club from next week for the children to be fed, not only flesh, but also spirit. Mrs. Leanne Smith, who is Peter's wife, have joined us for this kids club from this week. I have a dream. It is to preach the gospel to the Aboriginal people anywhere. So Mr. Booker and I have a plan is to make a mobile church. Normally people come to church, but the mobile church goes out to people by a van which is loaded with simple equipments. We want to go Foster, Port Macquarie, Kempsey, anywhere we can meet Aboriginal people. I will tell you more next time about these matters. Thank you.
Just a general question. Yep. Do you have a favorite book or verse in the Bible?
My favorite verse is Isaiah chapter 49, verse 5. I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. One day I was reading Isaiah. My eyes stopped on this verse. I don't know why that I couldn't continue reading anymore. This verse went round and round in my mind. This verse had touched my spirit very deeply. There were over 7 billion people in the world, but there is only one I. The one is honored in my Lord's eyes. My Lord doesn't treat me as one of 7 billions, but just only one. This is love of my Lord. Each of you are a very precious person to our Lord Jesus Christ. When I meditate this verse, I give thanks again to Jesus, who were crucified on the cross and rose again from the death for you and me. His love is for all of us. Yep, my favorite verse is this.
How would you like to be remembered? So, what would you like to be written on your headstone?
This
is a question.
Yeah, it was.
We
very,
could ask a few others as well.
Yeah, it was very difficult question to me. It was written on that well-known evangelist Billy Graham's wife, his wife Ruth Headstone. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Yeah, oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I have never thought about this because I'm young. Yeah. So I'd like to think about this from now.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes, I will old. I'll be old. Yeah. Yep. Thank you for your listening and thank you for your patience. Yeah, it's finished. Thank you very much. Yes.
Are you willing to take questions? I think Tracy has a question for you.
Well, I was just curious, when you've moved to Sydney, you started a church in Blacktown.
Yep.
Why there?
I thought that I came to Sydney for mission of Aboriginal people, but I thought that God blocked me because I wasn't trained as a missionary, not yet. So I understand it. So I organized the church. The church was based for Aboriginal people, a mission for Aboriginal people. Why Blacktown? Yeah. When I came to Sydney, my sister came there for meet me. My sister lived at near Blacktown. Yeah. So I stayed. I lived at Blacktown.
A lot of other Koreans there.
Yes, but Blacktown is not normal than other area. Blacktown is cheaper than houses rental fee or houses price than other area. So people comes to not good situation finance, they come to Blacktown.
Cheap.
Yeah, because cheap. But they recover and go out to other place. So church members come in and go out. Yeah. So much.
Yeah, when you came to our house, what was the
first thing you did? What was the first thing you did when you came into our house and sat down?
Pardon? I don't understand.
When you came to our home,
yep.
You came in, you said hello.
Yeah.
You sat down.
Yeah.
And what did you do then?
Ah, yeah, I prayed. Yeah. It is a habit of Korean believers. Yes. Jesus said to his apostles, when you come in others' house, you have to bless them. What I'm saying, you understand? Yeah. So we entered another people's house. We pray anytime. Yeah. Bless this house and this house's people. Yeah. It's a Korean believers. Yeah, habit.
Would you say that in Korean?
Pardon?
Would you say that in Korean for us? Bless this house.
Korean.
Say it in Korean language.
In my house.
I think Jean is just wanting to hear what the Korean language sounds like. So, for example, to say bless this house, say bless this house in Korean. Could you?
Ah. 축복합니다. 축복합니다. Yeah. Blessing is Korean. 축복합니다. Yeah. 축복합니다. Yes.
I'd like to know, do you speak Korean at home? Yep. Or is the rule now you must speak English?
Yes, I understand. We tried several times to speak English in at home. So I told Eunice, let's speak English from now, and then we were silent.
So, when you're working with wood and you hit your nail with the hammer, what language do you speak? Any other questions? Rosalie.
Church was not involved, but individually participated at the mission trip. Yeah, my son have been to Gilgandra twice. Yeah. Yep.
With a group.
Yep.
Can you explain what that group was about?
Yep. Last November, I went to Kimberley, Western Australia, for 1 week. First, we reached. Groom and Derby to north Derby we went to Kununurra. Yeah, Kununurra. It was a long trip. We visited 11 Aborigines communities. And last night, we go to somewhere. We hit a kangaroo, big kangaroo, over 60 kilograms. Yep. So the van was written off. Yep. No man hurt. Yep. It's God's grace. Yep. And we visited a Korean missionary, and we gave the comfort, and we moved deeply his ministries. Yes, very. It was very great.
Yeah. How are you finding the change from being a pastor to being a missionary?
Pastor, I was a pastor at the time. I kept my stable life, but missionary is not enough financial condition, so I prayed. But God, it's all God's duty. Yeah, God feed me. I believe it. Yeah.